Hello again. So we're very excited for our second speaker of the day, Him, joining us from where?
Belgium.
Belgium. What time is it in Belgium?
Quarter before seven right now.
Quarter before seven. So not too bad you didn't have to wake up during the middle of the night to join us, but still, it's late already.
Exactly.
So when we were doing this the test call just last week, I thought Hin is sitting in some very hipster cafe, but it turns out this is your flat.
Yeah, this is my living room with the hallway in the back.
I think it's very cool. I like the clock and the rough unfinished ceiling style.
Thank you. That's what I was going for.
Yeah, cool. So are you all ready for your talk?
Yes, I am.
Then I'm going to switch to the screen and we can get started. And I'll keep an eye on questions. Everyone, if you have questions, send them on Slack, Twitter, or Channel 9. I'm switching to your screen now. And if I can ask you to turn off your video as well so that people see fully the screen, I'll do the same with mine and we can get started.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to my living room, as Thomas already asked. And I will be talking about the curious case of Freya, Swath, and Giraffe. Oh, sorry about that. I'm trying to get full screen. Seems it isn't working.
It is working fine. We see full screen. Oh,
that's great. So I will be talking about the curious case of Freya, Swath, and Giraffe, how you can reduce the risks in picking a new technology. So for the people who do not know me, my name is Hien Verschatze. I live in Belgium and I have been making fabulous and not so fabulous software for the last 9 years. In the beginning, I used C# to do that. And about 2 years ago, I discovered F#. And I have been using that language ever since. I dedicate a lot of my free time to creating environments in which people can learn. And in Belgium, I do that in two ways. I'm part of the organization of two meetup groups called Socrates BE and DDD Belgium. And I'm also a member of the board for the F# Foundation, and I'm responsible for running the mentorship program. And last but not least, as it was already mentioned today in the conference, I am a member of the fantastic team that organizes Open F# in San Francisco, because it is makes a lot of sense to organize a conference in San Francisco when you're actually living in Belgium. So this talk started out completely different than it is right now. So in the beginning of October last year, I was thinking about a topic for a new talk. And I had heard a lot about Swath and seen a lot of great talks about Freya that year. And I thought, well, here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to compare. I'm going to learn both languages. I am going to compare them with one another. And I'm going to pour my findings into a talk. And it's going to be absolutely awesome. All I need now is like this cool pet project to do this with. And I didn't have to think about that one long either, because at the same time, I started listening to this podcast done by two comedians called Sloss and Humphreys on the Road. And in that podcast, they talk about things that people do that annoy you or that just baffle you. And seeing how they're huge Harry Potter fans, they call these people muggles. So for as an example, it annoys me enormously when somebody turns on their fog lights when it's raining. I don't know why. So that person would be a muggle for me. Like, it's all fun and games. And the listeners really love it because they created this Google Doc called Mugglepedia, in which they actually keep track of all the entries in every episode. And I thought, well, here's an idea. I'm just going to turn that into an actual web application. So off I went. reading a bit about Swaf, coding a bit, reading a bit about Freya, doing the front end, creating an importer for the Google Doc, setting up my database, like doing a lot of things and absolutely getting nowhere with anything, especially not to create a talk about. And whenever I fall into chaos like that, I like to sit myself down and have a serious conversation with myself. And to huge amusement of my next door neighbors, I actually do this out loud. And I came to realize a couple of things. Like, first of all, software is about solving problems. And I was trying to solve a problem here. I was trying to create this pet project. And I really hadn't given it a lot of thought. I had been so focused on creating an awesome talk instead. So I thought, like, well, that's not good. And second, like, I had this wonderful idea of comparing two libraries, but I wasn't entirely sure on how to compare these two things with one another. And third, like, comparing two libraries would mean that I would need to gain a lot of knowledge in a very short amount of time, and I wasn't entirely sure how to do that. So I decided to, like, swap directions. And instead of going for an awesome talk, I was going to answer these three questions first for myself. And while I was answering them, I came to realize that, hey, you know, maybe I'm not the only one who doesn't know this. So I thought, let's just come up with a new plan for the talk and make it into something completely different. So the plan for the talk today is, I'm going to talk a bit about the actual problem that we're trying to solve here and how you can do a structured analysis of problems. I investigated how you can compare things, and I'm going to present with you two methods that I think really suit these kind of decisions very well. Third, I'm going to talk a bit about how you can do a controlled experiment to gain the knowledge that you need to make these comparisons. And last, I will actually show you with a real example how that would work. And as Thomas already explained, there are many ways to ask questions. So if any of you actually have any questions left, you can ask them at the end of this talk to me. So the first thing I came to realize when I started digging into general solving problems techniques is that I had been doing it all wrong. Like, I have this wonderful solution. I actually had two. Well, now I kind of need a problem for it. And that's not how it works. Like, and I've noticed that I had done this in many other areas of my life as well. Like, for example, the microphone I'm talking into right now is something I bought when I totally didn't need it. And now I actually find a perfect problem doing an online conference to use this. And not only in my personal life, but I also do this when I come back from conferences and I have seen so many amazing libraries that I want to try out. I sort of try to see where in my project they would fit. And, you know, when I do this for my personal life, that's really not a problem. I just, you know, have a lot less money at the end of the month. But when you do that in a working environment for your projects, it could have real consequences for your code and for your team. So I thought, like, I want to stop doing this. But, like, how can I stop doing this? Well, how you can stop doing this is by making a problem very visual, by actually writing it down, drawing a diagram of the system that you're working in and pinpointing the problem that you're trying to solve. So that's what I did. Like, I have a user interface, which I created in Fable. I have a bunch of data in my database. And what I actually want is something that can fetch that data from my database and give it to my user interface. So I'm looking for a library that can do to create a web API. But I have multiple options in this case, and I can only use one. So I need to figure out which one is the best for my needs for this project. So that is my actual problem. Now, what can you do with that problem? You can actually do two things with it. You can, one, solve it, or two, you can make it irrelevant. Now, how do you make a problem irrelevant? Well, you look at the system the problem is in, and you ask yourself, like, what can I change within this system so that the problem no longer exists? For example, about 3 years ago, I was digging into no estimates, and I was getting like really, really frustrated with it. And I kept thinking, you're not solving my problem. You are not solving my problem. I still don't know how to do better estimates. And when I discovered making problems irrelevant is an option, I had this aha moment. Like, no, they weren't solving my problem. They simply were making the problem of making estimates irrelevant. So in this scenario, how could we make a problem irrelevant? I think that like going for something like Azure Functions would be a very good option here. But of course, I'm not going to start talking about Azure Functions because I would have picked the worst title ever for my talk. So we're actually going to solve the problem here today. And I like to know which kind of problem I was solving. And there are many ways to define a problem, to categorize problems. But I picked a way in which you define the role that facts and judgment play when you're trying to decide on which course to take, because I thought that was best suited for trying to pick a technology like I was trying to do. So the first category is simplistic. That means that you have one answer and that's a fact. Like, for example, what is F sharp? F sharp is a programming language. Like, that's a fact. And you absolutely need no judgment to get to that answer. The second one is deterministic. Like, there's one answer, but you need to collect a bit of data and you need to apply a formula before you actually can get to that one answer. So if you want to know how long a feature would take, you apply the velocity calculations and then you actually get an answer, at least in theory. So the role of fact is still very high here and the role of judgment is still very low. Then third, you have a random problem. Like, there are multiple answers possible and they're all good options and you can all identify them. So if you try really hard, you could sum them all up. And, you know, picking a tech stack is a random problem. If I tried really hard, I could actually sum up each and every library available to create web APIs in for F sharp. And last, you have indeterminate problems, which is you have, again, multiple answers and all are good answers, but you cannot sum them all up even if you tried. So when you're modeling your domain, there are a lot of models out there and you cannot think of all of them. So then you're actually trying to solve an indeterminate problem. So the more unknown answers you have, the more you will have to rely on judgment and the less you can rely on fact to actually come to a conclusion. So we are solving a random problem right now. And like I said, you should be able to sum them all up. So I tried. So first of all, we have the Microsoft Web API libraries out there. You know, I already knew about Swave and Freya. You had something called Giraffe. You have Saturn. You have Frank, Kayak and NancyFX. And you have something called WebSharper. And these are all good options that I can use to actually solve my problem. So now we're looking at the bigger picture of everything that is out there, and now we're in divergence mode. But of course, we need to narrow it down again. We need to define a scope. And when you do that, you are in convergence mode of solving a problem. So I already knew NancyFX and the Microsoft Web API frameworks that were out there. So I wasn't going to pick them because I wanted to learn something new. I failed to sum them all up, and later people pointed me in the direction of Saturn and WebSharper. So I adjusted my slides and I added them to, you know, have a full overview. But at that point in time, I didn't know they existed. So then you have Frank and Kayak, but the libraries on GitHub didn't really seem alive anymore, and I wasn't sure what they were about, so I scratched them out. So then I was left with three options: Swave, Freya, and Giraffe. And I was going to try to find out which one was the best option for me. So how can you start doing that? Well, first of all, a problem has factors. That means that it has conditions, it has circumstances about it. And out of those factors, issues arrive, which means that those are questions that you will need to be able to answer in order to make a decision. So listeners from the podcast will hopefully come to visit my project. So what questions do I have about that fact? So how many requests will there be? And like, how long does this have to last? Like, how long will this podcast be up and running? So how long does the project have to last? So this is a pet project, so I have a limited amount of time that I can actually invest in it. So how easy is it to learn and to implement this library? So how easy can I find help when I get stuck? And last, I don't know everything yet. I don't know where this project is going. So how easy can I change or add something? So these were the questions that I was going to try to answer. Like, and to make it easier on myself, I added categories to each question that I had. So requests turned into performance category, and how long it lasts is longevity. Like, I came up with learnability, like how easy is it to learn this, and simplicity, like how easy is it to get to Hello World? Like, that was my definition of simplicity. Yours could be something completely different. Like readability, like there are going to be huge amount of times in between. Like, how easy will I still be able to read all my code if I haven't worked on it for half a year? And then, are there practical examples out there that I can look at? For when you're a company, like, can you hire someone who's actually specialized in these libraries? Was a good one. And then you have activity, like how active is the community around these libraries? And how easy can I test something? And how easy can I extend the library? All right, so here is an overview of all my categories. And I placed them in the order that I thought was most important. But I had already wasted a lot of time on this project, you know, trying to figure out what I actually wanted to talk about. So I sort of wanted to check if this was the correct order. And I thought, let's just check the first one on the list. Let's check performance. So what can a visitor do when they come? They can go to the overview, they can watch a detail, and they can go back to an overview. So how does that translate actually into requests? Well, I found this really nice formula online, like one get or post counts as one request. If you have static assets, every file counts as a request, and an initial handshake is also a request. So all these are one requests. Like, every website has somewhere between 5 and 10 assets, but seeing how I'm making a web API, those are not taken into account right now. Because, and how, like, I checked how many listeners every episode had, and was somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200. I thought, like, if 80% comes to visit the website, that, like, that will be huge. So that leaves me with, like, 800 people. And worst case scenario, if they all visit the website at the same time and perform overview, detail, overview in 1 second, like worst case, I will have 2,400 requests per second, which isn't a lot at all for my pet project. Like, if you compare that to the number of requests any project in a company needs to be able to handle, like, what I needed is really peanuts compared to that. So performance that important? Well, I'm not so sure anymore. And if I misjudged the importance of performance for this project, like, what else did I misjudge? So I went looking for a technique which would allow me to actually rank these according to importance of the project. And I found something called pair ranking. And that means that you will compare each item on the list with every other item on the list, and you will ask yourself, which one do I find more important? So, for example, which one do I find more important? Performance or readability? Well, after what I just discovered, I thought readability for my project was way more important. So you mark it. So you go down, performance or extensibility? Well, I think extensibility is a bit more important. And you move on down the list until you have actually done the last one, practical examples. And then you start with the second item. And you ask yourself again, like, what do I find more important? Readability or extensibility? Well, readability is more important for me. And you keep going over and over your list until you get something like this. And then you count the amount of marks that you made next to each category and you make the sum. And then we do a sanity check, because sanity checks for me are really important these days. And there's a formula which will allow you to calculate if you actually touched every item on the list. So I have 10 categories. I need to multiply that by 9 is 90, and I need to divide it by 2 is 45. And if I make the sum of all these items, I actually have 45. So I went over each and every category and I compared it with the other. So yay, that's good. And then you rank them. Like, the one that gets the most votes is the most important one. And in that way, you actually get a more structured ranking in which you can start comparing things. And if you look at it, like, some of the things on this list I actually got quite all right, like testability and longevity, like they were in the right spot. But some things I got really wrong as well. Like, performance went way down for me, and simplicity went a lot up in that list. So, and then you need a frame which will, like, show you very easy how everything works. So, and a matrix is like this very simple thing. You have columns, which are your criteria, and you have rows, which are the items that you're trying to rank, and you get this really lovely overview. And I am ready to start comparing these libraries with one another. And I was really excited about it. I was most excited about trying out Freyag, and I had seen this lovely talk from Marcus Griep about it. And I thought, like, oh, wait a minute. Like, the whole point was to, like, not to be more objective about this. So if you already feel like that for Freya, like, what else is there? So I decided to sit down and write down everything that I thought of when I was thinking of these libraries. Like, to start with, Swave, like, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce it. I also came up with bad documentation and the fact that it's slow. And I was really, really surprised by that, because that's an actual opinion on a library I know absolutely nothing about, because I've never used it before. And I was wondering, like, why are these impressions in my head right now? And the answer is actually below the slow point. Like, about 3 years ago, we were trying to figure out which web API to use for a company project that we were setting up. And my colleague was against it because it had bad documentation and he thought it was slow. And somehow, in my mind, the opinion of someone that I really valued turned into my own opinions. And this is very easy to let this happen. Like, people you respect a lot, you take their opinions, you know, on face value. And people that you don't like all that much, it's, like, really difficult to value their ideas as they are. But it's very easy to be critical of those people. So, like, there are a couple of things that we now need to check out, and we need to be careful when we do this investigation, because there are ideas in our head that aren't really true. We need to check what it is. So I now know what I need to be really pay a lot of attention to. So I'm ready to start comparing. So Swave, like, I'm still don't know how to pronounce this thing, is a lightweight web server. Like, Freya is a functional stack, and Giraffe is a micro web framework which pipes into ASP.NET Core via middleware. Like, what exactly am I trying to compare with each other? And is this even comparable? Like, am I trying to compare apples with oranges, or, like we say in Belgium, pears, or whatever fruit you use in your country for this expression? So I tried to find, like, more information about what it actually was. And I bumped into this website about Katana, which had the history of how Katana came to be. And it talked about the Owen specs. And the Owen specs are like five layers that define a web framework. So first you have the host and the server, you have middleware, you have the actual framework, and you have your application. So, and I tried to pinpoint where exactly each library was on these five layers. And as you can see, like, Swave covers them all. Like, it's a complete package that you're getting. But Freya and Giraffe only touch the top three layers. Like, they're not a server and they're not a host. So I was wondering, like, what can I do with this? Because this is a problem. And I figured, like, Freya and Giraffe also work with Kestrel, and you can host them on IIS. So I'll just make everything that I can, like, blocked and the same. And I will actually compare the totality of all these three with one another. So this is what that looks like then. And now I actually was really ready to start comparing. So I dug into how you can gain knowledge really quickly. And there's this really interesting course of John Somes, which is called, like, 10 Steps to Learn Anything Quickly. And it was really interesting. And he said, like, you need to know the bigger picture. But because I already analyzed the problem in a certain depth, I already knew the bigger picture. And, like, you need to have a definition of done. Because I have a frame in which I wanted to compare these things, I already had my definition of done. So the only thing he said, like, you need to limit your time. Like, what is important, you need to spend more time on what is actually important. So yeah, I can do that because I have my ranking, so I know what is most important to me. And if you have limited time, like, if you can't just spend 2 or 3 days on this, you can just, like, select the top three, like, or top four, like, cut it. All right. So now for the actual comparing. So Swave has 95 releases. The first release was in 2013. It has about 2,450 commits. And the last commit was the 29th of March, a couple of days ago. Like, Freya has right now three releases. The first one was in 2014. It has about 700 commits. And the last commit was about a year ago. Now, it might look bad that it was about a year ago, but this could also mean that the library is just stable. Like, and you don't really know that from just checking out the activity. And then the last one, Giraffe, has about 44 releases. First one was in the beginning of 2017. It has about 700 commits. And the last one was in February 2018, which is really impressive because it's, like, a really young library and it already has a lot of activity on it. So then, specialization. Of course, I'm not going to hire anyone to make my pet project, but I thought it would be interesting to check it out. So There's something called the SAFE stack, which is supported by two companies. Like SAFE stands for Saturn, Azure, Fable, and Elmish. But they also offer different possibilities as a server, of which the two are actually Swaf and Giraffe. About the creators or the maintainers of Swave, like, I don't know at this point if you can hire them. Like, for Freya, it's a different scenario. Like, Synchro is the company of Andrew Cherry, who actually created Freya, and he's it's a consulting firm, and you can hire him. So that one I knew pretty easy. Like, Dustin was also a bit more complicated. He created Giraffe. Like, I found on his LinkedIn page that he is self-employed, but more information about what he does as being a self-employed person, I don't really know. So learnability, like, how easy is it to learn? And like, as you can see, the fact that Swaf had bad documentation is not true. Like, so my impression of Swave was no longer valid. It actually has two books. One is called F-Sharp Applied and is actually written by Tamez, who was previously before me in F-Sharp Conf. And it has the most documentation available right now. And I presented this about 2 weeks ago, I think, in F-Sharp Exchange. And what happened, like, Thomas and Don already mentioned it, like, it was so heartwarming. Like, Dustin pinged me on Twitter and tried to help me out to set up Giraffe. And the people that are maintainers of Freya pinged me and asked me, like, you know, where do you think that we can focus our effort into creating better documentation and getting actual samples out there? Like, can you help us out? You just investigated all of this, and it was just so amazing to watch. So I'm pretty sure that this slide will be outdated in no time, but because there's actually a lot of chatter now around this. And to answer the question, like, whether or not Freya is stable or like no longer active, if you go onto Gitter, you can see, like, it's a very active community. People talk there. So there's actually still a lot happening around Freya. And if you check out how easy it is to learn something, you actually get your practical examples for free. So yay, I love things for free. That was awesome. So performance. So I looked if I could find some benchmarks on performance, and I did. This lovely person named Jimmy Bird actually checked this all out. So Swave can handle about 1,200 requests per second. Freya on Kestrel can handle somewhere around 10,700 requests per second, and Giraffe is the winner with around 87,000 requests per second when you use Kestrel. He did mention in on the GitHub repo that you need to take these numbers with a lot of salt, some pepper, garlic, and some hot sauce. But they do sort of like give you an impression of the magnitude. You could also look at performance differently, and you could think, like, from a company perspective, like, if I want to meet my worst case scenario, like, what would that mean? So, like, for me, if I would go with Swave and I wanted to meet my worst case scenario, that mean that I would actually have to probably have two web servers with a sort of load balancer before it, and I would make the cost of my infrastructure more expensive. So next you have extensibility. I wasn't entirely sure how to handle this one. So in the end, I decided to just go on to Nugget and check how many packages were actually available for each one of these. So Swaf has about 48, of which is Azure. You have something which does a health check for your server. You have Swagger, you have OAuth. Like, Freya has a lot of extensions, because it's actually a very flexible library that you have. So you have Hopak, you can actually pick Swave as a server as well. You have Katana, you have Kestrel, like there's a lot out there to extend it. And Giraffe has 9, which of course it's a very young library. And it also builds on the ASP.NET core, so which has a lot of extensions on its own. So you have Fable.remote, you have something for TypeScript, you have Token Router. Simplicity. So how easy can I get to Hello World in my browser was the definition for me for simplicity. It could be that you want something like completely different. So for Swave, you need to create a new Consola application, add it to Packet, and you know, add the code for your web server. And somebody came up to me after the conference and said, like, you have save templates, and you can actually create a save template and mark Swave as your preferred server, and you will actually be very easy to set up. And it was, and it has beautiful example code, but it provides you with the client and server. And I already had my client, which I made, you know, in the beginning of October. But this is also a very valid option. Then for Freya, you need to install the template, you need to create it, you need to say that it needs to use Kestrel as a server, and you know, you need to add it to Packet, and you know, remove the references from your FS project. That was very easy to do. Like, I figured that one out like in no time. Then Giraffe was a bit more complicated in the beginning. So you have a template, but I installed it and it came also with client server, and you know, I needed to add it to Packet, remove it of the FS project, and I needed to start throwing away a lot of code that I couldn't use. So after Dustin saw my talk, he pinged me on Twitter and he says, like, hey, there's like a really easy way to do this in Giraffe with a template. Like, all you need to do is add that you want as a view raiser none. And you also have a use packet flag, which will automatically create this project in Packet. So I was, oh, that's great. So I tried it out this weekend to see what happened. And it worked, except for the use packet. Because that would have overwritten my initial packet files, because I already am working in a project that exists. But besides that, you know, I discovered a much simpler way to actually do it than I did it before. And that's always great if you can learn something by giving a talk, because people are super interested in it. So, readability. Like, I was very impressed with the readability of Swave. It's a very little code, and if you look at how the routes are defined, when I was reading up on problem solving, there was something called a scenario tree in which you wrote out each and every one of the possible scenarios that could happen with your problem. And if I try to show this on the slide, like how that would work, but like Swave is very much a scenario tree, which makes it very easy to read. So Freya is a bit more code, but the template offers this all up for free, you know, when you try to set up your Kestrel web server. And then the routes itself are a bit more complex, but that's because like Freya offers a lot of flexibility. It also reusability of the machines, and that's why the code is a bit more difficult to read. And then you have Giraffe, like, also, you know, you need to set it all up, but you get that for free when you use the template. And then as you can see, you have this scenario tree again. And that's because, like, Dustin really loved the way that Swave looked. And he sort of, like, wanted to do this for ASP.NET Core. So that is how Giraffe was born. So it looks a lot like Swave, except that it uses route and route F instead of path and path scan to define the routes. So how easy can I test this? So I thought, like, I'll just test my Hello World. Like Swarf has actually a testing library that comes with it. So like you install it and you get a test server, and like in one line of code you have your test server. It was like very easy. Freya is a bit more difficult because you know, setting up a test server for Kestrel is a bit more difficult. And it's a little less, the tests are a little bit less readable as well, I thought. But besides that, like it works really decent. And now we have Giraffe. And there isn't a testing package for Giraffe, but the examples online are so beautiful, and you get this complete way of testing. And I've been told that you can also like activate the templates to add this code of testing automatically when you try to set it up. And it's really beautiful code, and it makes reading what goes on in your test like so easy. All right. So now we have gone over all of the categories, and it's time like to plug it all back in into the matrix that we created in order to compare all these. So first thing you do is you add a certain weight to the categories. Like what is most important gets a heavier weight than what is least important for you. So that is it. Like we checked this earlier in the beginning of the talk, like readability was for me most important. So it would actually weigh more in making a decision than say, for example, extensibility, which was less important. So, and then you go to the pair ranking technique again, and you actually check all three libraries within each of the category, you know, the same way that we discussed before. And you can do the sanity check again, although like for this, it's really easy to count. And then, you know, you convert it into the matrix. Like readability, for me, Swave scored highest, and you add your weight to it and you multiply it, and then you get your final result. So then that's all that is left to do is actually like make the sum of each row. And then you can automatically find which is best and for your project. So for me, that was actually Swarf. So what am I saying? So knowing what I know, Swarf is the best option for this pet project. And what I'm not saying is that Swarf will always be the right option, and Freya will never be the right option, and Giraffe will always be second. Like, I'm not saying that at all. If performance is super important for you and you add a lot more weight to it than I did, then you will come up with a completely different result. So to sum it up, a problem must be analyzed within it, the bigger picture, and also within the context of the project that you're working on. We need to start doing this in a more structured way. You have to write them down so that you can't invent problems that aren't there. And it's also really good documentation for the future, because like libraries always change. And I'm sure you had this moment where you thought like, what the hell were they thinking when they picked that? Well, if you start writing it down and keeping it somewhere, you will know what they were thinking. And this kind of documentation just doesn't go back bad. You need to make it visually, and you need to use the right tools. Like which tools did I touch upon in this talk? Like you have pair ranking, you have weight ranking in order to compare stuff with one another. And in order to show data, you have the matrix and the scenario tree. But that's like just the surface. Like I barely scratched the surface myself. So I thought like, what did I wish I had? And I thought like, what problems did these libraries try to solve, and what problems aren't they solving? I would have very much liked to know that, because I then just can compare, like this is my problem and this problem was what they were trying to solve, and I can just match it a lot more easily. These were the books I used. So all that is left for me to do now is thank you for tuning in this lovely conference, and thanking the organizers for creating such a lovely conference and inviting me.
Thank you, Hind, very much for an interesting talk. I think you can turn on your video for a second just to say goodbye to everyone. And I'll have a look if we've got some questions. We're sort of on time here, so we'll have to wrap up soon. Did we get any questions on channel 9? Doesn't look like it. Did we get any questions on Slack? I don't see any. There was one question on YouTube, which was asking, not quite, this will be just a short one. If you're using any other languages beside F sharp, and I guess if you were not allowed to use F sharp, what would you use?
What would I use if I was not allowed to use F sharp? Oh, I think I would learn something. I've started learning Lisp, and I think I would like try to see which benefits I get from Lisp.
And I've got one more question, which is, which one is easiest to deploy?
There actually, I didn't deploy to servers, but my build scripts to get it up and running locally were all just the same way.
So all of them are easy.
Not that difficult. Yeah. With .NET Core, it's like very easy to build and run anything. Like it goes very smooth.
And there was one more question. How does Hopak compare to Akka and Orleans, which was for the previous talk, so we'll have to.
I can't answer that one.
Come on. But feel free to ask those questions also in the F-sharp conf Slack or in the F-sharp Foundation Slack, and the speakers are there and we'll answer. All right, so thanks very much for the talk, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for having me. Good night, good Bye-bye. Morning.
Yeah, Bye. Morning here. And we will be coming back to you very soon with another talk, a short talk, a chat with Alfonso, who's the creator of Fable. So see you in a sec.